Hello and welcome back. I'm Dandy Zhu, and you're listening to Digital Health Forward, a podcast dedicated to sharing the stories of healthcare entrepreneurs, leaders, and executives who are moving the digital health industry forward. Today, I had the chance to chat with Florian Otto, co-founder and CEO of Cedar. Cedar provides a smarter way for hospitals, health systems, and medical groups to manage the patient payment ecosystem. In today's conversation, Florian shares his personal career journey and the founding story of Cedar. We dig into why about 43% or $150 billion each year that's billed to patients goes unpaid, and what Cedar is doing to fix these problems and revolutionize the consumer financial experience in healthcare. We hope you enjoy the conversation. Hi, Florian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dani.
We're really excited to learn more about Cedar today. It sounds like it's been a very exciting time at the company with recent Series D financing and also an acquisition with OODA Health. So lots to cover today topic-wise. Let's dive right in. So to start, I would love to hear a little bit more about the beginnings of your personal story and your path before Cedar. So I read about how you were in medicine before and then academia and jumped also to McKinsey for a bit. You were an entrepreneur in Brazil and an executive at ZocDoc. So many different experiences. Would love to hear more about those transitions and the rationale behind some of those different experiences that you pursued.
Sure, very happy to do that. And you're right. My path wasn't 100% straightforward, but I think most of the steps that I've done in my career actually gave me, I think, some of the background that I think was very helpful for building Cedar. So as you can probably hear from my accent, I'm from Germany originally, and yeah, grew up in Northern Germany and then went to medical school in Southern Germany in Freiburg, studied medicine and dentistry to become a maxillofacial surgeon, and did my PhD after graduation. So pretty academic career. And then decided not to work in as a doctor, but to join McKinsey & Company. So worked for them already during my dentist degree in the summer. It was a very nice way to really get to know the business side of healthcare, and also, of course, to make some money for the dentist school, which is not unimportant. And then I did that for 2.5 years. So worked, started in the Munich office and then transferred to Rio de Janeiro, worked there. Of healthcare consulting projects, so providers, payers, government healthcare, and 2010 started a company in Sao Paulo, same business model as Groupon. And Groupon bought the business. I became CEO of Groupon Brazil, became one of the largest international markets for Groupon. So we were always the second or third largest market in international space, around 700 people, until beginning of 2013. And then joined ZocDoc, as you mentioned, was the head of sales. And then, was that for 3.5 years. And then 2016 started Cedar.
Wow, that's quite the path. Were you looking to get back into healthcare when you were joining ZocDoc? Or what was the thinking at the time between going from, the Groupon of Brazil and leading that all the way to coming back to the US and joining ZocDoc?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I would say nothing is 100% clear on why but these things, but the common thread is always I'm passionate about entrepreneurship and healthcare. So maybe just rewind it a few years. So why did I want to go into the business of healthcare and joining McKinsey? Was more that my feeling on being a doctor was that you're literally limited to seeing one patient at a time. And especially as a surgeon, like the maxillofacial surgeon, you have two hands to work on and you have 24 hours a day, right? So it's not that scalable. And it's pretty monotonous work. If you really want to be a good surgeon, you need to do the same procedure again and again and again. And that became a bit boring to me. So I basically decided, okay, I want to have a bit more macro perspective that is more scalable. McKinsey is a great way to learn that. So I really had a fantastic time, fantastic learning experience. The Groupon experience, I would say, it was never that my number one passion was to build up an SMB sales force and do online deals. But what I clearly said is I want to learn entrepreneurship. And I was based in Brazil, wanted to stay in Brazil. So doing a business model that is a bit more proven, and during that time, Groupon was the hot business model and adapted to local market, made just sense in order to learn this. So did that, and then Groupon bought us very early on. So it was an acqui-hire. We were then running the country for their operations. And then ZocDoc, I would say, came together the entrepreneurship experience and the healthcare. And I also learned during my time at Groupon that I just did this startup right after McKinsey, and I wasn't really ready for scaling this. I wasn't ready to be CEO. Did a lot of mistakes. And you know, when you are a CEO, it's very tough to learn because, of course, you're somehow leading the company. So it's not that easy to really learn from others. So joining ZocDoc was actually more of a learning experience for me to learn with a very experienced leadership team. Learned a lot from the CEO there, and of course also learned healthcare in the US. So I've never worked in the US before. That was my first real gig working in the US. And of course, as you know, healthcare is very local, and the German healthcare system is very different from the Brazilian healthcare system. It's very different from the US healthcare system. Right. So all of that basically, I think, was my step into the US, combining healthcare and entrepreneurship, and especially learning what it is to lead a startup. And all of that came together literally with starting Cedar in 2016.
Amazing. That makes a ton of sense. And I'm sure when you started digging under the covers of what the US healthcare system is like, you're probably shocked at how complicated and how messy and inefficient things are. Tell us about how the idea for Cedar came about. What was the vision for the company?
Yeah, happy to talk about that. So why did we start Cedar? Was more based on a personal experience. My wife, she was my girlfriend at that time, had a really bad billing experience. So she fainted on the street in New York, literally in Manhattan. We needed to take her to the emergency room, swiped the credit card for the co-payment, thought everything was done because she had a decent healthcare plan. She works in finance. And then a month later, she got literally a stack of paper. And everything was in strange codes, everything written caps letters. And they asked her to pay through a portal, but somehow the portal didn't work. So she needed to call in order to pay the bill. And then another month later, she got the next invoice from the imaging center because they did a CAT scan of her brain. And then half a year later, a debt collector called her for a bill from the laboratory for the same visit that she never received. So she changed her address and they just built her old address. So long story short, she said, I completely lost right now trust in this healthcare system because their administrative team is so organized, I'm afraid of the medical treatment there. And kind of makes sense, right? Because as you know, trust is consistency over time. And even if you have a really good medical experience, if you then have a bad administrative or billing experience, that completely erodes the trust in the system. So that was kind of the personal problem. And I thought, okay, if that happens in the middle of New York, that might be a bigger problem, right? And just looking on Yelp or Google reviews, you see the number one complaint from patients is literally about the billing. So we saw this is a big problem in terms of dragging down the experience for the patients. And then, yeah, doing a bunch of interviews with patients to really understand what is their problem. And talking to a lot of healthcare executives to ask them, because that's the flip side, right? Unsatisfied patients and frustrated patients leaving bad reviews on Google reviews or Yelp or complaining with a CEO is, of course, also a problem for the healthcare systems. And all of that together came literally... Yeah, the more I dug into the problem, the larger I thought, okay, the problem is, and the more I really got excited about trying to solve this issue.
Yeah, and it's sad because your wife's experience is not an uncommon, unique experience, right? I mean, there's so many people, I'm sure, who, including myself and people who are listening to this, who have had a surprise billing incident or thought that they had gone through the whole process to make sure all their bases were covered and they were paying their bills, and then they're sent to collections many, many months later. And it's extremely frustrating for everyone involved. And before we dive into what you and the team have built at Cedar to solve this very frustrating and complicated ecosystem problem, I wanted to start with setting a bit more context around the broader statistics in terms of medical billing and the consumer experience. My understanding is that Cedar actually launches a consumer engagement study, and the 2020 study showed that about 84% of US adults are actually worried about paying their medical bill in the next year. And 1 in 10 consumers simply won't pay their bill because they don't even understand the administrative process. And another astonishing statistic was that more than half of Americans with medical debt don't have any other debts listed on their credit reports. And so this is clearly a source of financial distress for many people. And would love to just hear from you, now that you've been in the space for so long, what you think the root causes really are, and why is it that this billing process historically has been so complex?
Yeah. How much time do you have? if we really talk about everything, this probably, I think, it definitely exceeds the scope of this podcast. But let's maybe touch on a few things that I think are interesting to see. So let's talk about the problem and then the root causes. So on the problem side, you alluded very well that it's very different problems on why consumers are frustrated or don't pay their bill. I think the first is it really that they have the money or they don't have the money? Because if right now somebody gets invoiced, you're right now non-insured patients, you get invoiced $100,000, this is just a system problem. There's no way this person can ever pay this. And it's just a problem of the healthcare system, right? It's in my opinion, one of the biggest scandals of US healthcare is that you spend so much for healthcare overall, but still have so many uninsured. And that's one of the things that is just literally, they fell through the cracks.
Right.
The second, and I think the biggest finding was really in this, that most of the patients somehow, or the consumers somehow, have the money to pay, at least if it's over time, but the process is really broken. And why is that process so broken? So imagine right now all the consumers that go to the healthcare system, they also shop on Amazon, right? They watch Netflix or they go on Expedia to book their trip. So all of these on-demand technologies, they are all personalized, they are all convenient, they're transparent, and then they are fair. And healthcare billing is none of that. So that is really, let's say, this root cause of the problem is that the communication between the consumer and the healthcare system is broken. A lot of these old technologies, like the EHR companies, they are right now doing the billing, but they are billing in CPT or DRG codes. And no patient can understand CPT or DRG codes. That makes no sense. They are made for coding, so for the insurance companies to pay the providers. And no human being can understand CPT codes, right? Why do I need to tell you even something simple as venipuncture, $56? Why cannot I say blood draw instead of venipuncture? Everybody understands blood draw, but nobody understands any puncture. So as simple as that, and having this one-size-fits-all solution on the billing side, so sending every patient the same statement at the same time after 30, 60, 90 days, of course, that makes no sense, right? Everything like Netflix queue is completely personalized. Every single Netflix queue looks different. If you look into your shopping cart at Amazon and the recommendations, they're very different from mine. Because we both are two different individuals with different history and different demographics. And that should be the same in billing as well. So I think biggest problem literally is let's take apart all of those that are just falling through the cracks, that are not able to pay. The biggest part are people like basically my wife. She had the money to pay. She wanted to pay. She still landed in collections because they had an old address. So a lot of this is not the ability to pay, but it's more just the problem of the communication between patient and the healthcare system.
Right. And it seems like that has primarily been exacerbated through these legacy technologies of EHRs being used for some of these interactions when they're not designed to be that way. Is that right?
Yeah, 100% right. I mean, we just talked a little bit about the analogy in travel, for example, something like Expedia or Kayak. So when you have these EHRs, they're on-premise enterprise softwares, which are really good on the medical side, right? And they definitely have that part. It's like in travel, Sabre or Amadeus, which are kind of these infrastructure companies. They're very difficult for the consumers directly to interact with. So in the past, you're the travel agent brokering between the traveler and Sabre and Amadeus. And that got disrupted by Expedia or Kayak or Booking.com. And in healthcare, you have these EHRs, which are enterprise solutions, and you have the consumer. And that, of course, right now is a problem. And Cedar is the link between the consumer and these EHRs.
That makes a ton of sense. And before we go into what has been built in Cedar. The other topic I wanted to touch on is just the difficulty, it seems, for consumers to understand how much their care is going to cost before they actually receive the care. And in November 2019, CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, announced that hospitals would have until this year to post payer negotiated rates for at least 300 shoppable services. What is your opinion on whether this rule is going to be effective? Where do we go from here? And why is it so difficult to understand how much healthcare is going to cost?
Yeah, again, that there's not one single reason, but there, I would say there are two main blocks of that. The first is the way on how we pay for healthcare in a fee-for-service model, right? If it's and most of the audience knows different reimbursement models. If you have a capitated rate, then of course it's super easy. Bundled rates are a little bit more difficult to estimate because you need to know the diagnosis. If it's a fee-for-service, then it becomes very tough. So what is the fundamental problem? If you right now have your belly hurts a lot, you need to go to the healthcare system. It says, my belly hurts very much. What will it cost to fix this? The doctor will not know what is. It might just be an upset stomach. It might be an appendicitis. And it might be pancreas carcinoma. So it might be very, very different things. And of course, giving an estimate, you cannot really know this until you know more about not only the diagnosis, but what will be done. And even when it comes down to what will be done, there are different pathways. Sometimes it's complicated, it's less complicated. And all of this causes different bills. So that's the first part of the problem. The second part is that a lot of hospitals don't have or basically have a team of professionals that they use to treat the patients. And some of them just are consultants and have a private billing relationship with the patients. So like, for example, the laboratory, the imaging center, anesthesia, emergency room doctors, facility, they're very often owned by different entities. So what does that mean? That all of those are billing separately to the patient. So even if one entity tells you what it will cost, the others, of course, will need to do that as well, which becomes very complex. And then comes the problem on the payer side. What is the problem on the payer side? You have a few different ways on how the cost share works. The first is the co-payment, which is super easy, fixed amount that you pay before seeing the doctor. Then you have a deductible, which is much more difficult because that's just a percentage that you pay up till you hit your maximum deductible. And then you have a co-insurance, which is a percentage above the deductible that you pay up to the out-of-pocket maximum. And you as a patient, of course, need to know exactly where you are in your deductible in order to estimate what your liability will be. And all of that together is a very, very complex thing. So it becomes easy if it's one certain procedure and you know where you are on your deductible. So for example, you right now go to the doctor in January, it's your first visit, it's a primary care physician, and the primary care physician will do a chest x-ray. The primary care physician will probably tell you how much the general visit will be, and he or she can also tell you how much the chest x-ray will be. So that's very simple. And their price transparency really makes sense for these, that's called shoppable experiences. But for the very complex one, it's much tougher. So it takes you long answer to your second part of the question on CMS's guideline to publish some of these prices. So I think it's very good that there is some movement and it has bipartisan support. And in general, the intent is very good. No question. Mm-hmm. As often when something comes from the government, it's not that usable for the consumer. So if you right now ask consumers and the rules in effect for already 6 months, right? Just ask 100 people on the street and ask them, okay, did you check with the healthcare system on one of those XPs, these 300 different procedures, how much it was, and then shopped by price? Probably if you could just ask 100 people, nobody will tell you, oh yes, that really influenced my decision on where to get care.
Right.
So what does that mean? It just means the impact is very, very low. And why is that? The first is cost is only one reason why you choose your doctor. It's the same if you go car shopping, I just tell you what are the prices of the cars, but don't really tell you what the cars are. So it's not that helpful, right? The second is the way on how it's communicated to the patient is very cumbersome. And we know this. If something is hidden, you can get almost every information online, but it's super hidden and very cumbersome for the normal consumer to navigate through this. If you don't have it in a digestible way, I think the impact is much less. So there are a lot of problems with all of this. Why I think the intent is good, and I still think it's good that it was, because also providers and payers, they're actually open to, they're open to sharing this information because they want, nobody really wants to treat the patient in a poor manner. So I think the intent is good. The execution is definitely not very usable yet. And I'm excited for the next few years on which companies will be built, which features will be launched. We definitely will take a very active stance there in trying to bring transparency to the consumers.
Yeah, it's very helpful context. And now that we have that backdrop, want to learn more about what you have built at Cedar over the last 5 or so years, and how has that product strategy evolved from the early days to where you are now and to what you see it being moving forward?
Yeah, so Cedar basically started very razor sharp focused on the post-visit billing solution, because that is where my wife had the really bad experience. And we just felt on doing research, that's where the biggest problem is right now and the biggest opportunity. And it's actually the most difficult product to build, a really solid solution to pay your bill after the visit. But of course, that is not really our objective to just become the better billing solution. It's the beginning of building a platform that sits between the consumer and the healthcare system. So after building really this next generation post-visit billing solution, we started building tools on top of it that resolve problems for the consumers that they face that are not paying the bill. So for example, if you have questions about your bill, you should be able to chat with your healthcare provider or the billing team. You can do that via Cedar platform. You can update insurance information. You can apply for charity care. We are helping the patient through the denials process when there is a denial from the insurance plan. And that, of course, all of that helps the consumer navigating the problems after the visit. Then around 2 years ago, we, of course, had this vision that the post-visit experience could be complemented of having a really good check-in experience before the visit, because the problems before the visit are not less than after the visit. So we developed this product that we launched earlier this year, which is a Cedar check-in, which gives you the opportunity to do the check-in for the visit, gives you all the methods for updating your insurance information, all the demographics, sign release forms. We give you an estimate of what a certain procedure might cost if it's a shoppable experience, and display it. You can put down your credit card or your HSA card already with a co-payment or deductible or estimate payment, and then have a contactless check-in whenever you go to the healthcare provider. Because we strongly are a supporter that when the consumer goes to the healthcare system, they should focus on getting healthy and not worrying about all of this administrative experience.
I love that. And it seems like as you've gone upstream into some of these earlier processes, besides post-billing, hopefully there's also this virtuous cycle where people understand and are having a better experience from the very beginning. And by the time they get their bill, they have a better sense of what they need to pay and why they need to pay it as well. Is that part of the thinking of going upstream in addition to having more touch points with the patient itself?
Yeah, 100%. We basically think that the previs and the post is just complementary to each other. And we, on a virtual way, want to literally take the consumer by their hand and navigate them through the entire process from the beginning to the end. And while we think more transparent experience post-visit is good, the real nirvana is to have everything before the visit. There are some structural problems. That's the reason why we cannot say we can solve everything before the visit, but at least it will complement it very well.
Definitely. And so on the other side of the platform, you've partnered with over 35 health systems and large medical groups, including Yale, New Haven Health, Summit Health, Novant, ChristianaCare. From the health provider perspective, what does it feel like to be a user and a partner with Cedar? And how does Cedar onboard a hospital? And what sort of integrations happen with the hospital's existing tech stack, like the EHRs we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, good question. So a healthcare system usually partners with Cedar because they want to make the next step in the digital engagement on the consumers. So it's a healthcare system that basically says being reactive and just doing everything that was offline in the same way online through the EHR is not 21st century and wants basically to make the next step there to deliver a good digital experience to the consumer. Those health systems partner with us. What is their objective usually of doing it? The first is they want to deliver a good experience for the consumers. They're investing usually tens of millions of dollars in marketing of their brand, investing in the good medical care. So they want to complement that with a good administrative experience as well on the digital side. The second is, of course, increasing the patient satisfaction or the consumer satisfaction is extremely important. The second, right now, payment rates are very low because this process is broken. And the patient is right now usually the second largest payer of a healthcare system after the government. So having patients that are more likely to pay and higher payment rates is very attractive because it goes directly to the bottom line to the healthcare systems. The third fact is it takes very long for patients in average to pay. Usually it's around 60 days is the average time to pay. And with a more dynamic technology, what Cedar is doing, we reduce that by around half. And then, of course, the last piece is, I think healthcare executives really see that sending paper is, first of all, pretty expensive, not really good for the environment, and that in 5 years, no bill will be on paper anymore. And all of these bills trigger a lot of inbound phone calls. And inbound phone calls add a lot of cost to the healthcare system as well. So those four factors, patient satisfaction, collection rate, time to collect, and cost to collect, are usually the drivers. How do we get them on board? Is yes, you're correct. We need to have interfaces with the EHR system. So we need to pull all the claims information and billing data. We are invoicing the patient and then we are writing everything back. So that's a process that takes usually between 8 and 12 weeks to do this integration. Very light touch from the provider perspective. Most of the work is done by Cedar. And then whenever it's onboarded, it's actually very low maintenance from the provider staff. We just need to ingest all of the policies that the provider already has with their patient's payment plan information, dunning cycles, and then we are ready to go.
Got it. And perfect transition to some of the metrics I wanted to learn more about. But you mentioned halving the time required for patients to end up paying their bills, along with a few other metrics that you're looking at. But what has the impact been for these health systems in terms of seeing an actual potential lift in patient payments or, you know, cost reductions, like you mentioned?
Yeah, that's, of course, one of the reasons why Cedar has gotten a lot of traction in the market. So first, patients really love the experience. Patients give us a rating of 88% patient satisfaction score. So that means basically they give us 4 or 5 stars in the rating. Mm-hmm. And the healthcare financial experience was usually one of the lowest rates in the entire journey of the patient. And having 88% of the patients right now giving us 4 or 5 stars, which is a delightful experience, is extremely high. Then about the lift in collection rate. So happier patients are more likely to pay. We see a lift of around 30%, sometimes even up to 80% increase in the patient payments. So it's a huge lift that happier patients are more likely to pay. I mentioned, I think, already that the time to collect goes down by around half. And then also there's a reduction in cost because of fewer inbound phone calls, shifting to chat, and then last but not least, saving on the paper statements.
Amazing. That's a huge lift in patient payments. It's really interesting to hear the psychology of the patient satisfaction being a driver of people being willing, more willing to pay. But intuitively, that makes
this in general
makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
yeah. In general, if you just compare it to, for example, the payment rates to, I don't know, let's call it a restaurant. If you ask a restaurant and say, what is your payment rates from the diners? They probably will tell you 98%. There might be one jerk runs out of the restaurant, right? Or one credit card balances. Yeah. But that's basically it. If you ask a healthcare system, they probably will tell you something like 50%. Okay. But it's exactly the same people that goes to the restaurant and that also go to the healthcare system. People want to pay their bill if they know what it's for, if it's convenient, and if it's fair and transparent. And that's basically what Cedar is doing.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It really comes back down to that trust element, like you mentioned in the beginning.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I think it's important.
Yeah. So wanting to transition a little bit into some recent news and looking ahead for the company, but we heard about the recent acquisition announcement of Ooda Health. So tell us a bit more about the context there and the strategic rationale behind this deal.
happy to talk about that, because that's one of the things that really gets me excited about what we can do for our patients. So we discussed a lot about CEDAR, how CEDAR is helping to build the connection between healthcare providers and the consumers. And that, of course, is nice. However, there are a lot of problems that the consumers are facing for the visit that are not necessarily provider related and that are unsolvable unless you have the payer integration. So for example, you're getting this explanation of benefit, which is usually should be tied also to a visit. But the problem is the description is different, the time frame is different, and the average consumer cannot really reconcile that. Mm-hmm. Being on the transparency side to really have good claims data, you need to have a payer integration for that. So we thought, okay, how can we integrate with the payer? There was, as you mentioned correctly, one leading company out there called UDA Health that had the integration with all of the major payers. So having an integration with the payer and the provider and the patient put CEDAR, of course, in a unique position that no other company has to really solve this consumer financial experience from the ground up. Mm. And that got us excited. Then, yeah, we started the conversations with their team. I knew them from before already, but literally, I would say, beginning of this year, got really, really excited about the mission because they tried to solve the same problem as we did, but from a very different angle. Right. And about the opportunity of combining the companies so that this combined company is the only company that can really be between the consumer and the healthcare system. And healthcare system is provider and payer, because provider and payer, they usually should speak one language. They both want to get the consumer healthy and they want to provide the best service. So you need to have both integrations. And right now, the new combined company is in a unique shape to really provide that no other company could do.
And as you're talking, I was just thinking about other revenue cycle players out there and how you guys are approaching it differently. But just for context, I think there's many other companies who are trying to tackle, you know, making this revenue cycle process for patients and, you know, also billing for payers much more efficient for hospital providers, right? And we have, you know, large outsourced companies like, you know, R1 and Optums and Conifers of the world working on it, and then many, many other point solutions across the whole process. But it seems like CEDAR is taking a very much more consumer-oriented view to building that relationship end-to-end. Is that how we should be thinking about where CEDAR sits in the broader competitive landscape?
Yes, so you are correct that some of those integrated revenue cycle management solutions like R1 or Optum are very different from what CEDAR is doing, and they're doing a lot of things that CEDAR is not doing. So I wouldn't really consider them as competitors. The biggest competitor is literally the status quo. Is healthcare system wanting to do something and change their status quo, which is paper, which is phones, in order to do phone calls and in reaching the patient? And that is probably the biggest issue right now. We work with a bunch of healthcare systems that use some of these more integrated revenue cycle management vendors, which is totally fine. It's not really the space we want to play in. We are 100% mm-hmm. consumer focused, and we are sitting on top all of those. So basically the EHR or some integrated revenue cycle management vendors, but we are 100% consumer focused and improve their experience.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. And you mentioned this with the vision for UDA Health and the integrated company, but what do you see as some of the key priorities in the next few years for CEDAR and the combined entity?
Yeah, so we basically, this year, of course, we are doing this integration to really be much better equipped to give the administrative experience for the patient on the payer side and on the provider side. There are a few things where we really want to get into. I think the first is on the transparency side. It still is not clear for every patient on how much they will be paying. That's definitely something we will be doing. The second thing is just expanding our footprint. We are right now the leading solution in this space. And we, of course, want to be used by way more healthcare system because that makes us touching more consumers. And that, of course, increases the impact what we're having. And we are very driven by kind of our core North Star is how many patients are we touching? How are we improving the patient financial experience for all of them? So everything that we will be launching will be geared towards that. And even something like OODA Optics, which is a product on the prior authorization, gets us really excited because it improves the experience for the patients and the healthcare system.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time. And we're also looking forward to following the journey as you continue to tackle this very important and complicated problem in the healthcare system. But wanting to wrap up our interview, the last question we wanted to ask is if you have any parting words of advice for other entrepreneurs and founders who are also hoping to make a difference and tackle hard problems in healthcare.
That's, of course, very broad, and I won't be able to share all of that. The first thing is do it. That's the most important. And don't get scared about healthcare or technology. It is very scary for the following reason. There are so many regulations and so many incentives that just don't make sense and you need to navigate through. But you know what? The consumer is always the same. It's the same consumer that is in the healthcare system that also shops on Amazon or watches Netflix. So consumers behave somehow the same way. So focus on the things that you really know they will want. And then, yeah, on building a business, there are a few things that I really love on building a company. I think the first is be transparent, being transparent with the team. People join Cedar because they're extremely passionate about our vision. They're very passionate about building a company, helping patients. They are all shareholders of the company. So we need to share with them everything that we have. So we, for example, always share our board meetings and our board decks with the entire team. All of the company knows our financial situation. Everybody knows our revenue data. Everybody knows our executive leadership team agenda. So we want to be very transparent so that everybody feels like an owner of the company. Another value that we have is focus on our vision. So we think it's very easy to get distracted by some flashy or interesting things where you might get excited about working on them. Don't literally solve the problem on why you started the company, which is your vision. And we always say, is that the right problem to solve? And if yes, try to solve it the right way because that gets us closer to the vision. If it's an interesting problem to solve, maybe even meaningful, but doesn't get us closer to the vision, then it might not be the right thing to work on. And I think maybe the very last thing is apply a growth mindset. So as an entrepreneur, you always think, of course, everything goes super smooth. Like, yeah, Cedar is growing every year, but it's not the case. There are a lot of setbacks. Cedar's journey over the last 5 years was not smooth. There were setbacks. There were frustrations. There were problems. The most important thing is to really get excited about the learning and not frustrated about the problems, because there's so many setbacks. And if you say, okay, I learned from it, we messed that up, next time we will not do it and do it better. That's, I think, the most important thing. And then it was worth to have failed.
I love that. Thank you so much for the reflections. And thank you for taking time to join us today on the podcast. Really excited to share our conversation with our listeners and educate everyone more on what Cedar is doing and the problems we need to solve in the consumer experience here. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for all you're doing for educating people and getting people passionate about healthcare, Dandy.